go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Ben Bolin.
And I'm Scott Benjamin.
Scott, we're doing a really cool one today.
Yes, sir.
Now, as you can tell from this half-empty bottle of Hennessy... No, I'm kidding.
Very good, yeah.
We are talking, though...
We should have thought about that. Yeah, well...
We're so square, man. Yeah. What are we doing not drinking at
I'm
work?
I'm drinking water.
I'm drinking soda.
Okay.
Okay, so, all that aside... We're dry as a bone, we promise you. And we are talking not about Hennessy the drink, but we are talking about a man and a unique vehicle.
That's right. Yeah, we're talking about John Hennessy and I guess his dream, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wanted to build fast cars. This is a guy that in 1991 founded, what is it called? It's called Hennessy Performance Engineering.
Yes.
That's the name of the company. And this is like early 1990s, 1991 in Sealy, Texas, which is near Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, what?
40 miles?
Something like that. It's,
30,
it's a decent distance away from Houston,
yeah.
But it's on the property that they also own Lone Star Motorsports Park, so if that helps anybody in locating this thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 45 minutes west of Houston.
Okay, very good. Sorry. So they also own Lone Star Motorsports Park, which holds drag events and other track day type events.
Sure.
It's a tuning house, really,
mm-hmm.
And John Hennessy is a car tuner. He modifies sports cars to make them faster, better, stronger than ever before.
I love that. I love that. The Bionic Man joke.
Mm-hmm.
I spend probably a month every time we're preparing for stuff.
Yeah.
Wondering if I'm going to accidentally do that joke.
Too late. It's already over.
So thank you. So for the first years, he's modifying imports,
mm-hmm.
right?
Not strictly imports. No, but a lot of imports.
Right, so like Mitsubishi 3000 GT,
mm-hmm.
Toyota Supra, Mazda RX-7.
Yep, and we get into the mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s.
Starts kind of working on these Vipers.
Mm.
And, the Viper, the big V10 engines, these are awesome cars, of course. And, we're talking about the first generation Viper at this point. Early 1990s, mid-1990s, and he's doing quite well with this. I've heard his name for forever.
Yeah.
I remember, because I worked for Chrysler at this time, and I remember hearing Hennessy involved with a lot of really high power sports cars.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of tuning, like really, really upping the performance of these things. I mean, taking a Viper and making it that much faster and better.
Which is already, just so we're clear on this, this already got him a reputation as a speed demon,
yeah,
or like the demonic engineer of speed. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He called them the Venom, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about a Viper Venom. It's a little tongue in cheek, type reference here. But there were a lot of different models of the Venom, and they all had numbers that coincided with the amount of horsepower. It started out with 600,
mm-hmm.
and they go up to there's the 800, there's the 850, there's 1,000, whatever it gets
mm-hmm.
up to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 2007, and this is where the story of our star begins, really.
Yes,
this actually is the
origin story.
Yeah,
I
guess so. The origin story of the Venom GT that we're going to talk about in a moment. Road and Track had a test that they were operating, and it was an incredible. It's a shootout test, really.
Yeah.
It's one of these that they run at an airstrip, and it was actually a U.S. Naval airstrip, and it was in California. And they've got like a 2.9-mile straightaway that they would run these vehicles, these supercars on,
mm-hmm.
and they would test them 0 to 200 miles per hour.
So we're talking about some real road melters running in this competition. We've got the McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Bugatti.
Yep. Yeah. The Veyron. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And this is the Veyron. That's the 1,000-horsepower car that everybody mm-hmm. just falls all over themselves about, how great it is. And it really is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. It's a 16.4-liter engine. It's huge.
That's super fast.
We've talked about this many, many
267.
Times.
267.
There's, Lamborghini. There's the rough Porsche 911.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really great, great cars. Well, Hennessy was invited to come to this, and he brought what at the time was his brand-new Venom 1000,
mm-hmm.
which is a 1,000-horsepower Viper.
So it's on par with the Veyron at this point.
Yeah, exactly. It's a twin-turbo Viper, Venom 1000. Okay, and remember, this is a 0 to 200-mile-per-hour test, so it's pretty intense.
Yes.
And it's a just flat-out who-can-get-to-that-speed-the-fastest competition. Well, at the end of the day, the Venom 1000 actually bested the Bugatti. They actually by quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people were shocked by this because, you know, up until that point, this was kind of they were the king of the hill, really.
Yes.
You know, the Bugatti was. And so this Venom, this is all the way back in 2007, beat the Bugatti. The Venom's 0 to 200 mile per hour time, Ben, 20.3 seconds.
Which I think makes it around 4 seconds faster than the Veyron,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah, because the Veyron came in at 24.2, so it was about 4 seconds exact. Faster, 0 to 200, which is incredible acceleration, just super, super fast.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing something really right here.
Yes.
That's, I guess, the best way to say it is that, you know, Hennessy was doing something extremely right with this vehicle.
Yes, in a kind of competition that usually measures itself in fractions of a second, it's difficult for us to really show how dramatic of a difference this is.
Yeah, you can't grasp how much of a victory this was for them. I mean, this is intense.
This margin of victory, maybe a bad comparison, but this margin of victory is sort of like somebody lapping someone else in a race. That's
yeah,
how big it is.
It kind of was in this specific case.
And
in that year. Now, of course, you know, John being a car guy, a tuner, he wants to go faster. You know, there's always that, you know, you got to do a little bit better, a little bit faster, because next time, you know, the Bugatti's shooting for you. You're gonna want to up your game, right?
Oh, yeah, they know who you are now.
Yeah, now you're the number one guy, and you're only there to lose your spot, right?
Right.
So, okay, so, you know, they decided that, you know, the Viper, they kind of looked at it, and they decided that it may be too big. They wanted to get it under 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, it might weigh too much.
And I think that it was, what, like 3,500 pounds or something? Mm-hmm. It was a heavy car. It's a big car.
And a lot of supercars are the word behemoth is sometimes used.
Yeah, sometimes, because they're very, very big, but they're also extremely powerful. Now, they wanted to they decided that, you know, weight was their enemy in this case. They wanted something lighter weight, but it had to be able to handle that much horsepower. It had to be able to put the power to the ground without just being a crazy vehicle to drive
and just falling apart.
Exactly. Over, they decided that even, you know, an all-wheel drive situation was too heavy. Because the extra driveline components would just be too much weight. And they didn't want to do a front-engine vehicle like the Viper is, because the Viper is very front-heavy.
Right.
It's rear-wheel drive, but that, you know, if you're going to up the horsepower and make this thing extremely heavy in the front end, you're going to add a lot of componentry to this thing. That's going to be too much power at the back end where there's no weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they decided that, you know, it couldn't be a front-engine design with rear-wheel drive.
Right.
Again, they didn't want all-wheel drive, so they're only... I guess the only option would be something that's a mid or rear engine, you know, where the weight is over the rear axle and it's rear wheel drive.
And they started doing some sketches.
Yeah, yeah. They decided that they liked the Lotus Elise.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what if we took a car? Because, you know, we've talked about Lotus and how their philosophy is lighter weight, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a ton of horsepower to be able to go fast and have fun. Just make the vehicle lightweight.
And it's one of the lightest on the market.
It really is, yeah. And I've got some Lotus Elise stats here in just a minute. But they looked at the Lotus Elise, and specifically they looked at the Lotus Siege. Mm-hmm. Now, the Siege is like a specialty model of the Lotus. It's a little more horsepower, actually a lot more horsepower. I'll talk about that too. But they decided that, you know, the vehicle itself, it seemed like it was a good fit. It was a good setup. It had the right size that they wanted. You know, they could get the weight down to where they wanted it to, below 3,000 pounds, you know, three or below.
It's a good jumping off point.
Exactly. It had the right, you know, the right setup. So they took the Siege and they did some sketches. And they decided that, you know, with the, you know, the balance and everything, that they kind of laughed about it. You know, he said, like, let's just take a look at what this would look like if we did this. 1,000 horsepower engine in the Siege. And they laughed. And then the sketches came back with what it would look like, and they started kind of not laughing so much.
Yeah, they went from, boy, this is crazy, to, well, what are you guys doing next week? Let's get together and start working on it.
Exactly. Yeah, they decided that this was probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the initial sketches are very, very close to the actual vehicle, the production vehicle.
It's true.
So, you know, this is the birth of the Venom GT. This is exactly where it came from. You know, it started in 2007, and by April of 2010, they had a prototype ready. And you can go online and watch videotape, or, you know, video of this, tape. I just said tape. Can't believe it. But you can go watch this, this video of the prototype being tested in somewhere in England, I think. It's on some side road. But, that's the production vehicle. I mean,
yeah.
It's incredible.
And it's, by the way, if you get a chance and you're just cruising the internet, check out the Venom GT website. They've got some videos there that are mind-blowing, because when you hear what this thing sounds like, it's not even going to make sense unless we do the stats. You want to do the Lotus stats first?
Yeah, you know what? I've got some stats on it, because this Venom GT, this thing is awesome. And you know what? If you want to compare it, now remember they use the, it looks very, very similar. If you look at it initially, you'll think it looks a lot like a Lotus Elise.
It really does.
Or
and it
a
has
Lotus Siege.
It has a lot of, or not, I don't want to say a lot, but it has several common parts that come straight from the Lotus. And also we should point out that Hennessy Performance is not affiliated with Lotus Cars.
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to mention that too. They don't have any kind of affiliation, but it's based on that. It's like a donor vehicle.
Yeah.
The Siege is a donor vehicle, and they do use a lot of parts, but when you hear what goes into this thing, you're going to realize quickly that this is really a completely,
it's totally different.
It's not custom built. I want to say it's customized, I guess.
Custom modified?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how to. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago, I think, about you know, the difference between a custom build and something that was modified. But anyways, let's just get into this, because there's a lot of interesting stats here. And I think if we talk about the Lotus Elise first, I want to point this out, because this will blow you away, Ben. I mean, Lotus Elise, I would love to have a Lotus Elise. We've talked about this
many times.
It's a gorgeous car.
They zip, too.
Even the base version. The base version is considered to be, you know, a strong performing sports car. And it's so lightweight and so small, it only has 134 horsepower. And I say only because a lot of people, I mean, it's 0 to 60 time is 6 seconds, which is still pretty quick. It's not it's not lightning fast or anything, but it's a sporty car. It's a 1.6-liter engine. That's not the CR model or the S model. The S model, I think, bumps up to like 217 horsepower.
Yeah.
So that's considerably more. But 134 horsepower, has great looks. It's very sporty, fun to drive, et cetera. Okay? Mm-hmm. Go-kart handling, I think, is what they like to say a lot vehicle, right? Okay. A lot of cars use that. If you go up to the Lotus Siege, which is the one this is built on, or based on, rather, the Siege S model, which is 345 horsepower. Now, that's a serious
heck of a jump.
Move up, right? 3.5 liter V6 engine, 0 to 60 time goes down to 3.8 seconds. So that's really quick. That's like motorcycle quick.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty fast. That's, 345 horsepower in a lightweight, small vehicle. When you see the size of a Lotus Siege, you'll realize that that's a lot of horsepower for that vehicle.
Yeah, because again, a lot of what we're talking about with the Venom and the Lotus comes down to power to weight ratio, and this is what Hennessy and the team were really concentrating on in the bygone days when they first started.
Yeah, now let's get back to the Hennessy's baby here, the Venom GT.
Oh, can I do the 0-60?
Yeah, please do. Now this will get you, and I'll give you the horsepower numbers in just a moment.
Okay. 0 to 60, 2.5 seconds.
Whoa.
2.5.
That's incredibly fast. That's like dragster fast.
In the time it takes for us to say 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, it's already going 60 miles an hour.
That's a good point, Ben. That's a very good point. Now, I want to point something out here.
Yeah.
And this is before we move on to the horsepower, because this is that number is incredible, but okay, you did the 0 to 60. You remember the initial 2007 test? We talked about how, you know, the Venom 1000 actually, it had a 20.3 second 0 to 200?
Yes.
Okay. The 0 to 200 mile per hour speed in this vehicle, he chopped another 5 seconds off of it. It's 15.3 seconds 0 to 200 miles per hour, Ben.
Which means that if you don't know how to drive this car, you don't have enough time to think, should I be going 200 miles an hour?
And I want to point out that the Bugatti Veyron with 1,000 horsepower, 1,001 horsepower, is still 24.2 seconds.
Which is the weight.
0 to 200. And that's an incredibly fast car.
Yes.
I mean, if you've ever watched the Bugatti Veyron videos, you know, of the top speed of those things, 0 to 200 happens really quick.
It's like a rocket sled on wheels.
24.2 seconds is fast. Imagine what that's like in this little car at 15.3 seconds. That's amazing acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And I think that, you know, well, we've watched these videos.
Yeah.
Where, you know, editors and writers that often get to sit in or drive supercars, you know, they're somewhat jaded to some of these vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
They get in a Lamborghini, you know, it accelerates. Oh, that's pretty quick.
And the handling.
Yeah, they get in, a Spyker, and they're like, oh man, that's a really fast car. It's something I haven't experienced.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
That's kind of the tone. They get in one of these, it's like they can't speak because, you know, their chest is being pressed so hard. They can't say anything. It changes your body when you accelerate that fast.
Yeah.
It's really, really quite an experience. And it's fun to watch, you know, someone experience that
uh-huh.
speed. So let's talk about the horsepower.
Yes, let's talk about the horsepower. Because the horsepower has a really interesting customization on it.
Oh, yeah, it does. You know, as a matter of fact, I'll let you talk about that. But the absolute number for the horsepower,
yes.
The top end, you want to just talk about top end here?
Yeah, go for it.
1,244 horsepower in a car that is the size of a Lotus Elise.
In a car that weighs...
I got the weight.
Yeah.
2,685 pounds.
Soaking wet.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, there was a discrepancy there because there's another report that says 2743, but that's a 58-pound difference. So
yeah.
Let's just go with the 2685 because I think they've cut it down.
So that much horsepower, 1,244.
1,244 horsepower in a car that weighs 2,685 pounds. That gives you, you know, 0 to 200 times like what we're talking
mm-hmm.
about. But the thing is... The weight and, you know, the way the weight is laid out in this thing, it's right over the rear wheels, right where the power is getting down, you know, being put to the ground.
Yeah.
There's no wheel hop. There's no body roll. There's none of that. This no. car just flat out goes.
Yeah. And you can, the interesting thing we're talking about with the customization here is that horsepower is adjustable
mm-hmm.
and it has, three settings. So this, the way I've heard it explained, I want to pull this from a great review I read, a driving review,
mm-hmm.
this quotation here. from the driver's seat, you can adjust the precision turbos to spool 10, 13, 20 pounds of boost depending on how much road you have or how quickly you'd like to die. And I think the person wrote this after they took the ride, but this adjustable horsepower is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's just an onboard computer that allows you to
yeah.
change the boost settings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can dial this up or down as needed. And I'll tell you, Ben, even the low end, shockingly fast.
Yeah, I don't think my Monte Carlo would win a race.
Yeah, there are three settings. The three
yeah.
settings, 800 horsepower, the next setting, 1,000 horsepower, and the final setting is, of course, the 1,244 horsepower for, you know, the all-out speed.
Yeah, and this comes from, like, even the engine, super lightweight, it's an aluminum block,
yeah.
V8, 7-liter. We already talked about how the only place they could put the engine was in the middle of
yeah,
the
sure,
car.
Of course.
Yeah,
sure, of course. Yeah, it's got the Siege layout. It's
mm-hmm.
you know, the mid-engine, you know, right above the rear axle. So, again, 7-liter V8 engine, you know, that's aluminum with twin turbos in this little tiny car.
Yeah.
1,200 horsepower. It's got to be just a blast to drive. I mean, and to slow it down. We talked about this before the podcast even because you and I were both shocked by this number.
Oh.
there are four, you know, of course there's four disc brakes. It has to have four disc brakes.
Right.
But they have to be massive disc brakes, right?
Yeah.
So these are great big brakes. Now, they're carbon ceramic all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Six piston Brembo brakes on all four corners.
Which is nuts.
Think about that.
Probably
for a
heard me muffling my laughter, but that's crazy.
That's serious. Yeah. I mean, when you look at some of the I don't know, the big sports cars that are out on the road right now, a lot of them have four piston,
right.
Which is still, that's a lot of power behind
and
those
brakes. And that's their high end performance.
But you know, I mean, just imagine what it takes to slow this thing down from 200 miles per hour. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a lot of weight, but still. You know, it takes a lot of braking power to do that. Oh, and one, you know, other thing that I want to mention here on the stats here before we move on. Actually, I got a couple more quick stats I want to hit, but one thing I think we need to talk about. This is really what they call a driver's car, and you know that probably is understood. You know, it's of course not somebody's not going to get behind this and take it to the grocery store.
This is a good point, Scott, and we should make it.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that you know. Somebody has to teach you really to drive this vehicle. I think that you
yes.
need to go to, you know, some type of, I would be willing to bet that this is one of those vehicles that they, when you pick it up, I think they probably take you out in it first and maybe even let you ride in it first just to feel it.
Cause they have a performance school.
Yeah, they do. Remember I mentioned yeah. that Lone Star Motorsports
yep.
Park?
Yep.
That's part of the Hennessy facility and they will teach you how to drive something this powerful.
It's necessary.
Honest to God, I know that when, you know, back again, I'll go back, I worked with Chrysler.
Right.
They, with the Vipers, Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, these guys would teach new Viper owners how to drive the vehicle so they didn't wrap it around a tree in the, on the first day.
On the way home.
Exactly, because it would happen. You know, the cold tires and that much power, and if you're not pointed exactly straight when you hit the gas, you're going whatever way you're pointed. It can be a scary vehicle to drive, and I think that's what, you know, John liked, you know, John Hennessy likes about it. Mm-hmm. In fact, he mentions that, is that, you know, the car is, he says even himself, and he's driven the best of the best, you know, the world has to offer, really, if you think about it. You know, it's a fun car to drive, but he also is a little bit scared every time he gets behind the wheel.
And yeah, that's something that
we heard,
too.
You know, that from Carroll Shelby, and you remember the Bill Cosby, the Cobra?
Uh-huh,
you know, the snake or the I forget what it was called even.
The one that, like, Shelby built one for Cosby.
Yeah, there were only two vehicles. Mm-hmm. Carroll Shelby's and the one that Bill Cosby ordered, and then Bill Cosby returned it because it was too fast. You remember that?
Yeah, well, there's a reason he's still alive.
So this thing has, okay, I mentioned it's a driver's car.
Right.
No ABS, no traction control.
No airbags on one model.
Oh, is that right? Okay, no airbags. So that's understandable. They're trying to cut weight. So anyways, I get it. I understand why, you know, they would do no ABS, no traction control, nothing like that. It's you get the feel for the vehicle. I don't know. It seems like more of a pure experience.
And here's something that's interesting, a stat that we do have to ask. Everybody's probably wondering right now, saying, mm-hmm. Scott and Ben, why aren't you talking about the top speed? Interestingly enough, because every Venom GT is sort of sold before it's built. These are custom cars. You have to wait when you buy one.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't an official top speed record yet. There's a theoretical record, which is impressive, right? That's the engineers say 272 miles an hour.
Not bad.
But I've heard some conflicting information about that.
Have you heard? I have, you know, and there's, you know, of course, there's the Texas Mile that you can take. And
right.
You know, there are these shootout competitions, like, you know, let's say the road and track competition where it was 0 to 200.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these different categories of events that you can race in or you can participate in. But the flat out top, you know, fastest top speed, that's going to vary on the package that the owner buys. You know,
right.
If they decide to have, you know, they want it, the interior gutted. If they, you know, so there's no weight inside, really, other than the driver's seat and, you know, whatever, you know, roll safety cage they need. It just seems like there's just too much variation in these vehicles to be able to get an absolute top speed. But you mentioned, what did you say, 272?
Yeah, that was all the numbers I've heard are in excess of 270.
Oh, my gosh. That's an extremely fast vehicle. I would love to see this thing in the Texas Mile and see how fast it goes.
Well, I mean, would see it for just a second.
That's right. Yeah, it would be very fast. And I bet you anything it's going to be there this year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I want to just quickly go through a couple of things. Now there's a carbon fiber body, and
right.
That's important because of the weight. You know, we talked about how important weight was in this vehicle. Except for the doors and roof, it's all carbon fiber. Now, the doors and roof, I would guess, are still steel or aluminum or something like that, metal parts.
Yeah.
The weight distribution, 44-56, that's front and rear. The balance is that's actually measured with two passengers, so it takes into account that you got somebody riding with you,
okay.
Which is smart. I mean, because a lot of times you'll have somebody ride along with you. You know, you see that in the they took it to the Goodwood Festival of Speed and they did the hill climb competition. They had two people in it. The balance, I think, is very important in this car. One other thing.
What?
It's a long car. This is I mentioned that it's a Siege, but it's longer than a typical Siege because, you know, it had to make extra room at the back. You'll notice that it's stretched out longer than a Siege is. So it's actually quite a bit longer. It's 15.27 feet long.
And almost 6.5 feet wide.
That's a big car. That's actually a very, very long vehicle. Now, we said that, you know, supercars are often called behemoths, really,
because
they're very big. But this one, you know, even though it's low and it's fairly wide, This is a long vehicle.
It helps with the downward force.
It doesn't look that big when you see it, though. You don't realize that this thing is 15 feet long when you look at it.
No, you're right, because I think it's the form of it makes it look as though it's a bit shorter than it actually is.
Proportionally, this thing is really well built. It looks it's really well designed.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I think we've gone through just about everything we wanted to mention here. You know, that's In the specs range, anyways.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that, you know, we want to quickly bring up here, but let's get down to the cost, Ben.
Oh, man. Okay, wait, before we do, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. You got something else to include before that. That's fine.
Well, I just to mention the parts that are still Lotus parts.
Oh, okay.
So some of the things are Lotus parts are going to be like the roofs, the doors, the windscreen, the dash, the floor plan, HVAC, headlamps. So the reason I'm listing those things is because I want it to be clear that all of the performance-oriented stuff, all of the actual fire in the belly of the beast is completely a Hennessy job. So while you might hear some people say, especially when they get to the price, like, am I just paying a lot for a modified Lotus? No, it's a completely different creature.
You can't put a 1,200 horsepower motor in something that normally has, I mean, a strong one, 345. And expect it to hold up. It would tear that car apart. It would just destroy it.
Matter of fact, the only way you can do it is if you're John Hennessy.
There's an awful There's an awful lot of strengthening and you know, reconstruction of parts that goes on here. In fact, you know, there's a lot of body work that goes on here. There's the lengthening of the back end. You know, it's not exactly like you're buying a Siege that's just got a motor stuffed into it. There's a lot more to it than just that. And you want to hit him with the price, Ben?
It kind of hurts my feelings. So can you do it? I'm going to set down.
Well, first of all, you got to contact John Hennessy via phone. You can find, you know, all this information on either HennessyPerformance.com or VenomGT.com. Yeah. You can call and talk to him if you want about ordering one. You know, the number's on the website. It costs a little over $1 million, Ben. That's kind of sad.
It is. I'll be okay.
Yeah,
it is.
A little broken up. Huh? Yeah, it is sad. I mean, that puts it out of the range of a lot of people. Now, I know that, you know, you can't get this type of performance and this much of a purely customized vehicle for a low price or what I would consider even a supercar price. This is kind of beyond that. This is $1 million. That puts it into another realm.
I want to point out two things in their defense, in the Venom's defense.
Sure.
First, worth every penny.
Agreed.
Secondly, in consideration of what you get for that price in comparison to other cars that are comparable, like the Bugatti, this is kind of a bargain.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, if you do compare it like that, like I could either get a Bugatti or I could get this. If you're in the market,
if you're that level in your life,
yeah, and you say, well, I could get a Bugatti Veyron. Let's say I'm going to go for the $2.2 million version of the Bugatti Veyron. I'm going to save $1.2 million by getting this and still have better performance. I don't know. I probably would go with the Veyron. No, I'm just kidding. I would go with the Venom GT.
So surprised.
No, come on. No, I would go with the Venom GT. Because, I'm cheap and, you know, $1 million, that'd be the way I'd go.
I don't know. I think what I like about the GT is that it's very much, what'd you say? This guy's living the dream.
Yeah.
And it's very much a personal, labor for him, you know, like to the point where you guys, Scott and I are not joking. You call this guy on the phone. When you want to want him to build one of these cars.
Yeah, and you talk with him and you have a heart-to-heart conversation with John, and he makes sure that you're serious about this. And
there's
probably some major money going back and forth for a down payment and, you know, the start build, and there's a lot of – I bet there's a lot of information that has to exchange hands before the
game
started.
And, you know, one of the legends about this – well, I shouldn't say legend because it is true. One of the really cool things about – the beginning days of the Venom is when they made these hand-drawn sketches, there were people who saw that and said, I will buy one, build it.
Yeah. So, I mean, sight unseen with a brand, you know, an actual product.
Yeah.
There was no prototype yet. They were just saying, if you build it, I will buy it.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to start saving now. Let's see, what do I have? I have $7.
Well, you know, in the meantime, Ben, if you want, there's some other things you could spend your money on.
Oh, okay.
At Hennessy Performance, they've also got, get this, I thought this was amazing, a 14-week tuner school that you can attend.
Oh, yeah, I was reading about that.
We've talked about, like, driving schools that, you know, are like a, sometimes they're a half a day.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're a day. Sometimes they're as much as 3 days. 14 weeks of tuner school. This would be really something to go to. What it does is it teaches enthusiasts how to properly modify and tune vehicles. Mm. And you know they've got that Motorsports Park available, and you
right.
know they've got some incredible vehicles available for you mm-hmm. to work on. I think this would be really cool. I can't imagine what something like this would run, you know, as far as dollars. But look into it. If this is something that you want to do with your life, 14-week tuner school at Hennessy Motorsports just mm-hmm. might be worth it.
And you will be working with a legend.
Exactly, yeah. There's something to that as well. You know, it's not just any old school somewhere. This is,
right.
you know, you're working with someone who's got an established name in the industry, and, you know, this would hold some water.
In 14 weeks, man, even if you don't know anything about tuning, you're going to learn something.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, there's a couple other things real quickly here. But Xbox 360, for the gamers out there, mm-hmm. There was a Forza Motorsports 4 edition that was released, and the Venom GT is one of the vehicles that's available if you want to, own this vehicle in cyberspace. Is that the best way to put that?
That's a good way to put it.
And if you want, you know, this is the cheapest way to get this vehicle, I guess, is to own an Xbox 360 and have Forza Motorsports 4.
You're probably right.
So anyways, that's for the gamers. But
Got one more?
I don't know. There's some interesting stuff in the Goodwood Festival of Speed, the hill climb in 2011. There's some trash talking going on between Bugatti and Hennessy Motorsports. So
yeah.
I think maybe not necessarily them, but you know the editor that was there from Jalopnik that was on a ride. you may want to read this article. It's called "Behold the One Car Bugatti Fears." If you want to search for an article to read, that's an interesting one.
And we're not knocking Bugatti.
No, not at all, not at all. I think it's a great car, but again, there's some cars out there that are simply doing it better.
Is there one last thing?
There is, and you know what? I snuck this in without even seeing it, I believe. You're looking at it right now, though.
What is it?
You maybe did see it.
I didn't see it.
See what I have here in my hand?
What?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God. You guys, Scott has a Hennessy T-shirt.
A Hennessy Motorsports T-shirt, and I want to show you something else. I'm going to flip it around here.
It's signed?
It is signed by John Hennessy.
That's amazing.
Now, I have had this. I've never worn this T-shirt once, not even once. I picked it up when I mentioned that I was at the I worked at Chrysler for a while.
Yeah.
I attended several of the Viper Invitationals, and the shirt is actually a Venom 600 GTS that is signed by John Hennessy. He was there kind of promoting his tuning school and his products because, you know, you're there with thousands of Viper owners. And, you know, there were hundreds of Vipers, Ben. It was really, really cool. And we're down in, I think it was in Florida. And mid-90s, I want to say like 95, 96, somewhere in there. I can't remember when. I went to a few. And he was always there because, you know, this was his thing. He tuned – remember the Venom 1000 that we talked about?
Yeah.
Well, this is back in the days of – let's see. It looks like Venom 600 GTS is the vehicle that's on the back.
I am blown away.
Got to meet him, did a little quick interview with him because we were there with Chrysler News. You know, we were talking to him. But really cool guy. And he gave me the shirt. It was just a freebie, you know, a handout because, you know, I work for – the company that he's trying to work for.
Right.
So it was really neat. And I have never worn this shirt. I've been keeping it in the bottom of my, you know, my clothes drawer there for, I want to say, oh my gosh, Ben.
Yeah.
I've had this shirt in, like, readily available at hand 17 years.
Oh, man. And you didn't even say anything about it the whole time.
No. I can't believe it. Now that I say 17 years, I can't believe I fell down to the stupid thing that long. I haven't, like, hung it up on a wall or anything with it.
Well, you could iron it, maybe.
I guess. It's a little wrinkly, but, you know, still.
That is amazing. We have to get a picture of that for online. It is pristine. Scott, I am so impressed by your past.
He's a neat guy. He's a fun guy.
Cool dude.
Yeah, again, it was a long, long time ago, and I only got to talk to him briefly, but he was very excited about what he did and very passionate.
I cannot believe you just ended our podcast with an autographed shirt by the person who...
That's what I do.
I'm inarticulate. I'm so I'm so impressed with
you.
Yeah,
well, most people probably aren't that impressed.
I think a lot of people are, and maybe we should call them and tell them about this podcast.
It's the only chance I had to even show this to anybody or bring it out of the drawer, and now it's going to go back in for another probably 20 years.
Well, we're going to take a picture of it before then.
Fine.
Fine. All right. You'll put up with it. So, guys, it sounds like I'm getting on Scott's nerves.
No flat photography. It'll fade the material.
Yeah, it'll fade the ink. It'll reduce the value.
It's like a museum piece at this point.
Right. So we're going to take a picture of this before Scott puts it back in its vacuum-sealed, climate-controlled storage space in the Scott Benjamin Smithsonian,
mm-hmm.
Which you guys might not be familiar with, but it's a regional Smithsonian.
Quite a collection.
And while we're doing that, we're going to go ahead and let you go. We want to thank you again for listening to our show. We hope that you like the Venom as much as we do.
Yeah. You know, please go check out some of these photos and video of this car, because it is awesome. I mean, it's one of those cars that comes along, you know, once every couple of decades, it seems like. I mean, it just seems so out there. Go to VenomGT.com and you'll see it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And we can't say anything else other than find us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, tell us what you want to hear about in our next episodes, and feel free to email us directly with pictures of your favorite cars, your least favorite cars, anything vehicle related at
CarStuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.